Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Sheila Crawford. And remember, all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a plethora of knowledge that we anticipate you will share with others. Now let's bow our heads in prayer. O great and merciful Father God, you are worthy above all else. And in and of ourselves, we are nothing without you. Forgive us our sins as we beseech your continuing guidance in this dark world. But because of your light in us, we can be a bright beacon to the lost, able to give the gospel at a moment's notice. We pray for the healings of those listening right now, and even more urgent than our own infirmities, we lift to your throne the salvations of our loved ones. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit so you will be pleased with tonight's message. And I need to lift up a special prayer for my cousin Ronnie. They've called hospice in on him, so I if you would pray for Ronnie and Hazel. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, can you believe we're in March already, and we have already seen some very spring-like days?
Yeah, almost summer-like. I was almost went golfing last Saturday.
Right, I remember that. And many more of those days are coming. And even sooner is the very biblical Feast of Purim on the 24th of this month, and the pagan holiday that they call Easter is this month on the 27th. And then next month will be the real Feast of Christ's Resurrection on the Feast of First Fruits, which is always on the Sunday during the 8-day season of Passover. Well, of course, he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
This year on April 24th on our calendar.
That's correct.
And I know we will be talking about the difference between Easter and first fruits.
You think? Yes, because it's not the same at all.
Didn't Acts 12:4 in the King James Version call the day Easter instead of Passover?
Yes, they did. But the New King James fixed it.
They did.
The original Greek word is Pesach and should have actually said Passover.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, we're going to talk about that and a lot of other things, Purim as well, and probably next week too, because between both feasts, there's a lot of information.
Okay, how about some news first?
All right. If you were able to listen last week.
If not, it's archived on our webpage.
Thank you, dear. I did speak on the probable murder of Supreme Court Justice Scalia, so I won't spend more time on it, but to say, since then, there has been even more evidence and reasons for evil people to want him gone. But you can do your own research because there is much of it out there now. And really, I only relay these kinds of occurrences to further confirm to you the evil days that we are living in, thereby, of course, solidifying to you all of our soon escape, as Jesus assured us of in Luke 21.
In the days of Noah, 2 Timothy 3 is a telling chapter describing the perilous times and the people in general. Sure fits these times, these days, you know, where Paul says there will be those who are lovers of themselves and money.
You're right. That is a good chapter. And I think it also says that people will be haughty and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
That does speak volume.
Yes, and we say it often, actually, on this program, don't we? Even Christians would rather watch TV or be entertained than study his word, which later in the same chapter there of 2 Timothy 3, it does say his word makes one wise. I guess people don't want to be wise. But also, I think it's verse 13, and it's so appropriate and apparent today where he says that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Imposters are those wolves in sheep clothing.
Yeah, or the tares among the wheat. And don't ignore the verse right before that where Paul assures us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
So what are you trying to say?
You know, if we are not being persecuted, even if it's just verbally behind our back, maybe we need to be witnessing more. Just saying.
Okay, back to the news. What's new in the Middle East?
Well, still continuing, brutal, vicious attacks, using mostly very sharp knives, some dipped in poisons, on Israelis by some of the Palestinians. Not all. Some of them actually want to live in peace, so just have those rebellious ones. But they even use their children, who are actually taught from the cradle, to kill a Jew, and you'll be rewarded. Israel is also watching the Golan Heights border with Syria closely. A lot of enemy activity is going on there, particularly from Iran-backed Hezbollah, and it's not ISIS.
No, ISIS doesn't seem to care about Israel.
Doesn't seem to, and that's interesting in itself.
Yeah, it sure is.
And in Syria, even though a ceasefire with Russia and the Free Syrian Army was scheduled so that humanitarian aid could get to the citizens that are still there, just has not been realized successfully. And now, down south in Libya, where ISIS has now infiltrated, and by the way, making much headway, is getting a lot of attention by Egypt and France, with military ships in the Suez Canal heading to the Mediterranean to meet up with Italy, where plans of a joint assault by late next month, they say, will be launched to try and root out ISIS positions in Egypt's western neighbor.
Will the United States help?
Maybe just enough to save face, because after all, as I've said on this program, there's lots of evidence shows that we've helped create ISIS, along with the Sunnis, the Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and even some help from Israel, because they all want Assad out of Syria, just like we do, because we partner with Saudi Arabia, so we have to go along with them. And as I have also reported just a few weeks ago, it's all about the underground oil pipelines, who both the Sunni and the Shiites want to control and to own. Remember, Assad is a Shiite who allies with Iran.
But there is so much behind-the-scenes stuff going on, it's enough to make your head spin.
It does. And by the way, one more newsy item is what was really quite a surprise to most Golden Globe watchers Sunday night, and a surprise to me, was that the Best Picture Award went to Spotlight. And that is a documentary on the sexual abuses of the Catholic Church on children. In fact, one of the recipients, when taking her statue, said in the mic, "Please, Pope Francis, protect our children."
That must have been quite a moment.
It was amazing. It was just amazing that it won.
Yeah, it is. It was an underdog. All right, then. You can send your end time question to, by email, to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message 2440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and are greatly appreciated, and automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And this Friday, Shofar Assembly gathers for a timely Bible study and a great lesson on typology, right?
Yes, when we'll be in the Gospel of John.
And that's at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland, Ohio. And we'll be back in Mentor on March 24th.
And that will be on Purim, and we might even have some Hammenstatchen.
Oh, those three-corner cookies that look like a Persian hat.
Maybe.
Okay, just quickly, what's the main story in the Book of Esther, and why remember it yearly?
Well, okay, first of all, there are seven major feasts, all written in Leviticus 23, that Jesus will literally fulfill, and in fact has already fulfilled the first four with his first coming, and will fulfill the last three with his second coming. But then there are two extra ones called, and in fact are the miracles of Hanukkah and Purim. Both are remembered because, just like Pharaoh in the Exodus, it's all about defeating a major enemy, Haman and Antiochus Epiphanes at Hanukkah time. All prototypes, by the way, of the Antichrist.
As are a few others down history.
Oh, yeah, throughout. Yeah. The powers behind these men have always wanted to rid the world of Israel, so to thwart the plan of God, for Satan in his thinking would win if he could outsmart God. Anyhow, Purim is all detailed in the Book of Esther, and for the next couple of weeks we will be discussing not just the main story, but some hidden coding under the surface of the Hebrew text. It's quite astounding. But basically, the story unfolds with the king of Persia getting very mad because his wife, the queen, refused to attend his party. So he wanted a new wife. Esther, an unknown Jew, decided to give it a try and was picked, for she was very beautiful. Now, a wicked aide to the king named Haman, a descendant of Agag, who King Saul was supposed to have killed many years before when God told him to. But anyway, Haman was recently promoted to a high position in the king's palace where the people would even bow down to him. That is, all except Esther's older cousin Mordecai, who, by the way, had raised her from a child. Well, this infuriated Haman, and so he decided to make plans to annihilate Mordecai, and in fact, all the Jews whom he also hated. Of course, Esther found out and arranged a couple banquets where Haman was exposed and soon hung on the same gallows he had built for Mordecai. Then there's the battle that the Jews had to fight because the king couldn't rescind his ruling once proclaimed, but he gave the Jews ample weapons of defense. And therefore, instead of being defeated in battle, they actually won. So the Jews were spared and Satan lost again. Now, that's just a short snippet, but it's a great historical story full of intrigue. And many Esther plays have been performed and even a few movies. And next week, we'll look more deeply into it and the typology and the hidden codes. But I wanted to stir you up a little first so you will try to make an effort to read it this week and get some of the amazing details on more of a personal level. In my latest newsletter that just went out, I do give some visual Hebrew coding that's in the Book of Esther. You can just go to shofarministries.net/newsletters for March of 2016. Then next week, you'll be a little more prepared and you'll be able to see it with your own eyes. That is, if you enjoy the deeper truths of God. But in our remaining time today, I want to now touch on the difference of Easter and Jesus' resurrection on the Feast of First Fruits. Now, there's a great author by the name of Alexander Hislop who explored the origins of Easter in his book titled The Two Babylons. I'm sure you've heard of it. The English word Easter actually originates from Babylon. The word Astarte, which is one of the many names or titles for the Queen of Heaven, which the Catholic Church transferred to Mary. Now, the Chaldeans who lived in the southern part of Babylon called her Ishtar, and the Syrian would call her Venus. And then there was Diana in Pergamos, and to the Canaanites, she was called Asheroth, whose son was called Tammuz. And actually, Ezekiel 8 refers to them as an abomination. Also well known as the mother-child cult. So, you can see how the Catholic Church could compromise for Mary with the baby Jesus in her arms. Anyhow, there were different names for the same goddesses depending on where you lived. Now, from the same Satan, and he does not care what you call them as long as it's not the real God name. So the Babylonians, centuries before Christ, held a festival each spring to memorialize the supposedly yearly death that had occurred in the fall, and then the resurrection of Tammuz in the early spring, utilizing decorated eggs. And again, it's at the time of the spring equinox when the night and the day are of equal lengths. Eventually, rabbits came to be linked, for they represent fertility. And it was told to the children that the rabbit, which we call the Easter Bunny today, brought the eggs, even though rabbits have never laid eggs. These ancient fertility rites that were observed to the goddesses like Ishtar were immoral and full of sorcery and common in all the heathen nations. A fable I read about the egg is that an egg of wondrous size fell from heaven into the Euphrates. The fish rolled it to the bank of the river where doves settled upon it, hatched it, and out came Astarte or Ishtar, the goddess of Easter. The point I really want to bring home here is the fact that Easter was always a separate celebration only by the pagans from way back in the Old Testament. And again, it's referenced in Ezekiel 8, where, as the resurrection of Christ, always on the Feast of First Fruits, was a different celebration, both by the Jews before Christ and then the Christians who joined in till the time of Constantine in 312, who then combined them, and yet still the true believers did not compromise. But today they have, and why is that? I suppose ignorance and lack of proper teaching from pastors, and that's a sad thing indeed. So with this questionable conversion to Christianity during the time of Constantine and his desire for all to say they were Christian or off with your head, more or less, he compromised with the pagans and combined these two feasts, I guess, as well as others, you know, like Christmas, into one and called it Easter, to be held on the Sunday after the full moon during the spring equinox. Now that's different than the Feast of the Resurrection. So this month, that Easter is March 27th, and it is not the Feast of First Fruits, which is the Sunday during Passover week, which is next month. So, let me ask you, would Jesus celebrate Easter? Hardly. Did he celebrate Passover? Well, of course. And then he became the Passover lamb. You know, Paul instructed us not to mix it with leaven, you know, like the bunnies, but to keep it with sincerity. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8 is some good scriptures to look up for that. So let us, as true Christians, remember the Passover season, particularly the Feast of First Fruits, when he resurrected, which is always on the Sunday during Passover week. And you can read that in Leviticus 23:11. And again, this year it's next month, April 24th. Now, as you know, sometimes it's the same day as Easter, but not this year because you probably wonder why. Well, they added the extra month, the Jews did, of the Adar to catch up with the solar calendar because their calendar is a lunar calendar. Otherwise, after so many years, they'd be celebrating the spring feasts in the fall. Just wouldn't work out. So, in my mind, and I hope yours, just forget about the rabbits and recognize the first fruits, which really represents new life. What else occurred? Anybody out there know on the original date of Nisan 17 when Jesus rose from the dead, which for us represents new life? Isn't it interesting that Noah's Ark rested in Mount Ararat? And that certainly represented new life to mankind. And also, Haman, that we just talked about earlier, was actually hung on Nisan 17, which, of course, destroyed the Jewish enemy that gave the Jews also a new lease on life. God is amazing. He's so detailed. Now, I must say that the egg was added later to the Passover plate by the Jews, and that came during the Dark Ages. And they did it to represent new life out of bondage from Egypt. And I guess that's okay. And for Christians who do a Seder meal, and many of you do, it teaches on the Trinity as well. Because, although it's one egg, there's three parts. The shell, the yolk, and the white. So it's an easy way to show children the Trinity. Again, no stuffed rabbits for the kids, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. Instead, what about a stuffed lamb? Or a chocolate lamb. They'd love those too. And I think that would be just a little bit more appropriate. Perhaps you could find a congregation that is doing the Passover meal and join in the supper. It's great. You'll be blessed. And look for the typology as you go through that. And you know, a question comes up often. If God requires us to, A question came in this week. Does God require us to observe the feasts still today? And I have to say, of course, he does not. Nothing's mandatory. However, it is a great tool for learning, especially if you have children. So let me just say to you out there, and we'll talk about this more again next week. But if you're listening to me right now and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, accept his free gift unto you and into your heart, repent for your sins. Because remember, Christ took your debt for sin by shedding his blood on the cross for you. And if you just accept what he has done, then your punishment is erased. It's done. You can be a brand new, debt-free, forgiven person. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, if you will just open the door, he will come in and even dine with you. Surely. Can you hear him knocking right now? If you haven't made him Lord of your life, don't wait any longer. He's coming back. Is it worth taking the chance that what I'm telling you is correct, and maybe you might be wrong? But remember this, he won't crash the door down. It's got to be your move and yours alone. No church or religion can save you. It's a personal choice. Just you and your maker, Jesus Christ. And if you are backsliding or even wonder whether you are an in-name-only Christian, like Matthew 7:21 talks about, only a head knowledge and not a true heart conviction, no desire to be in his word, then get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you that shalom peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her will prosper. Psalm 122:6. Keep looking up.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.